We've got a great deal of material to help you understand it. We hope you'll take time to look into it. Fair enough? All right. Well, I was invited to, I'm going to see if this works. Okay. Is this microphone loud enough to hear well, or should I say at the stand? I'll talk loud. Thank you. And if they can bring it up just a little bit, that would be great. I realized the other day that it's been 37 years since I started my career in life insurance. And what that means is that it's been exactly 40 years, almost to the month, that I bought my first whole life insurance policy. It was a $10,000 whole life policy sold as I just returned from a mission for the LDS Church in Texas. I got a job. A friend of mine from the neighborhood I grew up in was an agent for New York Life, and he came and told me that I needed to start saving. The thing that was really interesting about the way that Dave did that, $10,000 whole life was $14.95 a month, and that was a real hit on the budget for a guy in 1974. But David didn't show me a $10,000 illustration, he showed me a $100,000 illustration. Well, that would have been $145 a month, and that would have bankrupted me. And I said, David, why are you showing me this? I couldn't possibly afford that. He said, Jerry, I don't see you where you are today. He says, I see you where you are in the future. And the day will come when you have much more than that because you're going to be successful in life. Well, I saw those numbers and what they could be at age 65, and it was inspiring. Now, the reason I tell you that is that when I started in the life insurance business, I was speaking out of imagination. I would talk about what a whole life policy or a term policy, eventually a universal life policy, today an index universal life policy. I spoke prospectively as to what they could possibly do for a person. 40 years later, I'm going to tell you what it's like to have owned the product for 40 years. So there's no imagination left for me. I know exactly what the policy can do and why it matters to people. And while I believe in all the products that I told you about, I love the guaranteed no-lapse universal life or survivorship, I view life insurance policies as golf clubs. Would you go golfing with one club? I don't think so. It wouldn't make sense, would it? Because there's different problems to be solved. There's many creative insurance policies that have been created, each of which can solve a different problem. But at the core, and something that I believe nearly everyone ought to have, is whole life insurance. So we're going to spend about 25 minutes talking about that, 10 reasons why you might want to include whole life insurance in, and the word here is your portfolio. Okay, so here we go. Quick review of whole life. Guaranteed, you have to pay a premium, and you can do it for a period of time that's defined by the policy, at least age 100. Custom policies can allow you specified years to pay. I paid up at 65, a 10 pay, a 20 pay. Guaranteed cash value that endows at age 121. So mathematically, what's the one thing that's true about whole life? It will always be worth more next year than it was this year. I saw a great bumper sticker. This is 30 years ago. It was on the back of a car. It said, how'd you do in the market today? Your whole life went up. And that's a mathematical certainty. Guaranteed death benefit. If the claim pays a required premium, the company bears 100% of the risk for assuring that that death benefit is paid. There's no possibility of a lapse if the claim pays the guideline premium. Is that true of some universal life policies? It is not. You could pay the maximum premium, and if adverse circumstances prevailed, you could lose the coverage. It's eligible for non-guaranteed dividends. And most policies today allow you to put additional money into what's called paid-up additions. We'll talk about that very quickly. And all guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuing company. And there's a good hour presentation as to why a whole life policy is every bit as secure as money in a bank, perhaps more. Well, I like to illustrate things as buckets of money. So what happens is that we have three values in a whole life policy. The base policy is always going to have exactly what the policy contract states. You pay the required premium, the money goes into a bucket of money, it will grow until it equals what at age 121? The face amount. Can the cash value of a whole life policy ever be a dollar more than what was printed on the original page? It cannot, because mathematically it's a defined benefit contract where the benefit is specified exactly? Well, most of us work for mutuals or dividend-paying whole life contracts, so when the company actually does better than the assumptions that were used in pricing the policy, there's excess cash created. What happens to that excess cash? Can't go into the policy like it could in a universal life. It has to leave the policy. And so it can leave either to reduce the premium, or what most often happens is it buys additional paid-up life insurance called a paid-up addition. Finally, I can put money directly into paid-up additions. That's got a guaranteed cash value. That's got a guaranteed death benefit once I make that purchase. If it does better than the pricing that was used to price the single paid-up addition, it will create a dividend that once again goes over into this overflow bucket. So at the end of the day, the cash value of a whole life policy is the cash value of the base policy, the supplemental paid-up additions that I purchased with extra premium payments, and then the dividends were created by excess interest and mortality experience on the other two buckets of money. That equals the net cash value. When I add all those values together at the top, that gives me my net death benefit. Was that like the fastest you ever heard anyone explain whole life? I'm assuming that many of you understand the product, and so that's just a review. So let's talk about the 10 reasons that having whole life in a portfolio makes sense to me, and why I really love having this product as part of our portfolio. I'm of the amiable personality temperament. So what's characteristic of an amiable? They're sappy. I mean, it's disgusting. They get all sentimental. They're all those sorts of things. But every decision by an amiable is made with reference to how it affects the people they care about. So for me, having life insurance that will never lapse under any circumstance is vital. I don't want to pay a lot of money into a product and then run the risk that when I finally get to the point where I'm going to die and the benefit's payable, that somehow adverse circumstances have caused the policy to fail. The death benefit is always there. All I have to do is pay the premium on time. That certainty can become the one part of a person's portfolio that is absolutely dependable. The market goes up, the market goes down, the bonds either mature or they fail if you go into a high-risk bond, but the whole life is always there. Unlike term insurance, where the premium goes up every year, the out-of-pocket premium for whole life actually goes down every year. Now, this assumes that you're with a dividend-paying policy if you choose a reduced premium dividend option. In the case of my policies, the time has actually come when the annual dividend can more than pay the entire premium due on the policy. So at any time that I want to, I can stop paying premiums and not have that go into the policy because the dividend is greater. This is going to be a hard illustration for you to see, but let me just draw your attention. This is a whole life paid up at 65 with a reduced premium dividend option. So we have a male age 40, best class, purchases a $20,540 a year out-of-pocket premium. 20,000 times 25 years is what, about $500,000 premium that will be paid. But notice that with the dividends, so this is the end of year dividend that's on our current dividend scale. With Penn Mutual, that scale has now been maintained for 5 consecutive years. Notice that the dividend is growing very large. In fact, it gets to the point that before the policy actually is out of the premium paying period, the dividend is great enough to pay 100% of the premium. When the policy is then paid up, instead of paying $25,000 a year out of pocket, the policy could deliver $21,780. That's an amount greater than the premium, and it would continue to deliver that for as long as I live. And you'll just see that that dividend grows larger and larger every single year. And what is the risk? What's the only risk that exists with this product? The dividend may be smaller. It could also be greater, couldn't it? You know, as I count it last, with all this stimulus and economic easing, $5 trillion thrown at an economy, do you think that inflation will ever catch? Maybe a year or two, but if inflation ever catches, interest rates will go up. Saw an article yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, Fed is considering moving interest rates up. What effect would that have on a whole life dividend scale? the scale would go up. And so that means that this number of cash that I could take out of the policy would increase. And it works out, if you add all of those together, all the money I paid out of pocket, and then all the money I paid received from the policy, that I would have received about $800,000 more than I paid into the policy, and my family would always collect $1 million tax-free. I like that. Now, I'm not doing it, but I like it. So I continue to pay premium. Why? Well, let's look at option number three. Call me old-fashioned, but I like cash value. Now, I told you that I love the guaranteed no-lapse universal life policies. So if this whole life policy costs $20,000 a year, and all I wanted was $1 million death benefit for the lowest out-of-pocket premium initially, I could buy a GPUL, we call it, a guaranteed no-lapse UL, for about $10,000 a year out-of-pocket, paid up at 65. It would build a reserve of cash, and then it would consume that reserve in the later years of my life until it's ultimately zero. But the death benefit's guaranteed. That's a great policy. But if I had my choice, all things being equal, I like one that has cash in it. How about your clients? How many like the fact that their whole life policy has cash? Raise your hands if you sell those products. And in fact, do they like that it goes up every year? And how do they use the cash? I think most don't. Most just let it keep going, and it keeps growing and compounding on itself, becoming an ever more valuable part of the portfolio. But if they need money, it's accessible and easy to get, isn't it? Why do I have all this money? It turns out that my whole life policies have accumulated about 10 times as much as the savings accounts that we've maintained through the years. And I'm married to a saver. Marcella's very good with money, and so we accumulate money in lots of places. Life insurance isn't the only one, but on the fixed side of our portfolio, that part where we want guarantees, our whole life has done 10 times better. I think the reason is that once people get the life insurance started, they think of it as a bill to be paid. Something like 92% of Americans are solvent all the time. What does that mean? It means that they pay their bills. If whole life is a bill, do they pay it? Yes. And all of a sudden, you wake up 40 years later, and in our case, we have about $400,000 accumulated inside these type of products. Well, that feels pretty good. And we just know that all it's ever going to do is go up. And the reason it happened is that I paid this bill to myself. Number four, whole life has an increasing death benefit. The increasing death benefit under option B in a universal life policy comes at the expense of policy accumulation. Now, let me say that again. So if I choose the increasing death benefit option on a universal life policy, that means the death benefit is always the original amount added to the cash surrender value, right? But we also know that let's suppose it's $1 million policy and we have $300,000 of cash value, I'm still purchasing $1 million of term life insurance in the UL, and the policy's being charged for that on a monthly basis. Not a problem when I'm 40. But when I'm 85 and I'm still adding $1 million on top of the cash value, can you see that that's costing the policy a lot of money to pay for $1 million of term insurance? You get a dollar for dollar benefit if you have the option B. If the cash value goes up $10, the death benefit is increased by $10. What happens with whole life is that you purchase paid up single pay life insurance policies. It's like every year for the last 38 years, my policy has purchased an additional paid up life insurance policy, like its own little policy. Jerry's single pay policy bought at age 28. And then next year I buy another one, Jerry's single pay policy bought at 29. We add all of those together. Well, the math of the paid up addition is this. If I get a $300 dividend, it will typically buy, well, let's take a look. So take a look at the end of year one. There's a $1,260 dividend. If you look at the death benefit at the beginning of year two, it's 1,004,000 something. So a $1,200 dividend bought $4,800 worth of death benefit. How is that possible? A dollar of dividend bought $4 worth of death benefit. Well, what happens is it's a single pay policy. So the company says $1,200 based on a guaranteed return will grow to $4,800 at what age? 121, because that's how a whole life works, right? So the amount that the cash value will grow to becomes the immediate death benefit payable to my family, income tax free. This is effective leverage to have a contract where as I continue to pay the level premium out of pocket to age 65, about $500,000 in premium at a dividend scale that applies to most policies sold today would actually grow to $6 million of coverage at age 100. I think that's remarkable. Now, here's the thing. I like to sell a lot of single premium whole life, and particularly for people in my age group, 60. So you put $100,000 into a single pay whole life, and it buys typically about a $300,000 death benefit, but then that death benefit continues to grow every year until the person dies. I could put the same $100,000 into a level death benefit universal life, couldn't I? Probably buy a little higher death benefit initially. The whole life will pass it in time if I live long enough. But here's what I found working with seniors. Every year that you live with a level death benefit means that it's cost my family money for me to live. Because it would have been better to collect that high death benefit early on, wouldn't it? But every year that I live with my whole life, the family gets more money. People like that. They want to see that the value of the asset is increasing with the passage of time. Whole life does a terrific job of that. Does that make sense? Okay, number five, disappearing premiums. Now earlier I said that I could have a dividend that reduces the premium. With a whole life policy, you can actually have the premium disappear. It's been called premium offset. That's the phrase that I grew up with, vanishing premium. What happens is that at some point, I've accumulated enough money in the paid up additions account that when added to the annual dividend on the policy, I can offset the premium and bring it to zero. So without any out-of-pocket premiums, I'm done. I've finished paying for the policy. It's really nice to know that if I wanted to, I could stop paying premiums. And all the whole life policies that Marcel and I own today are at a point that they would offset if desired. So I'm working, I'm making money, it makes sense to me to pay. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if I decided to retire tomorrow, or if Cambridge decided I was retiring tomorrow, we would be able to eliminate the expense that we're paying for our life insurance. And we would go into retirement with an asset that is fully paid up, fully guaranteed, with zero out-of-pocket outlay. Now, how is that? I mean, it used to just crack me up when people would say, well, I want to buy term insurance because it's cheap. Okay, is that true in the long run? Term insurance gets more expensive, whole life becomes zero. I mean, I actually have had people replace or try to replace a whole life policy that's eligible for offset. And when you ask them, well, why do you want to replace this? They say, well, because term insurance is much cheaper. I said, how is term insurance cheaper than zero? I mean, you can offset the policy. You can pay nothing and have the death benefit and an increasing cash value. How is anything cheaper than zero? That's what you can do if you have a fully funded whole life. Now, by the way, you can't do this in the early years, can you? You've got to stay with it long enough that it has time to build these kind of values. Dividends are not guaranteed. Remember, the worst that can happen with a whole life is that I start paying the original premium based on, for my first policy, age 25. Okay, well, number six, I like whole life because I don't have to stop paying premiums. That sounds weird, doesn't it? If you have a choice between paying zero and paying $1,000 a month, why would you choose to pay $1,000 a month? Well, the reason is that I've done the math and I found out that every time I pay a premium past the offset year, the internal rate of return on the cash value is 5.5%. I'm going to demonstrate that for you here in a moment. Now tell me today, where can you go and put something into a fixed product where principal is guaranteed and earn 5.5%? Bank savings account, raise your hand if that works. Bank CD, tax-free municipal bond, corporate bonds. Yeah, we're getting some of them that are in the 6% range, right? But what happens to their value on a daily basis? Goes up and down. Do you pay capital gains when you take the money out? Yes, if the bond matures at more than you paid for it. Whole life will mature tax-free and get it 5.5%. I was on a panel back in Boston a year ago, and I was with a fellow who was also going to be on the panel with me, and we went to dinner the night before, and I said, so who's your main client? He said, bond traders on Wall Street. I says, well, you sell them whole life? He goes, they love it. I said, okay, let me get this straight. You've got guys who speculate on bonds, and they love whole life. He says, Jerry, it's true. When I sit down with these guys, I lay a whole life in front of them. He says, out come the calculators. They sort of push me to the side, and they start going, this is freaking unbelievable. They go, look at the, and it's tax sheltered, it's tax free. And they say, we could not do something with a bond that you can do with your whole life portfolio. And by the way, we don't have to do any work as a client, do we? The insurance company does all of that for you. They call it a deep discount, zero coupon, mortality-based bond. Put that one in there and think about it for a second. Deep discount bond, what does that mean? It's gonna mature in the future, buy it at a discount. Zero coupon, what does that mean? Don't take money out of it along the way. Mortality-based, what's that? It matures based on mortality when I die, so that if I'm in a month and the client dies, it matures for full face amount. There's nothing like it on Wall Street. Well, here's the math. So you gotta follow through with me here. The cash value in this whole life policy is $110,762 at the end of year two. The next year it's $119,425. Now, what did I do to get the money to move from 110 to 119? Well, you can see that we paid $2,500 in premium. So if I take 119 minus 110, that means that the cash value increased by $8,600. I take $8,600 minus the $2,500 that I paid in premium. The actual increase that comes from interest and dividends is $6,141. If I divide $6,141 by 110,000, 5.55%. Again, where can a client go today and get 5.5% tax sheltered that matures in a tax-free death benefit worth four times that amount with absolute safety? This is incredible. Do you see why I keep paying premiums? Because every time I pay a premium, I'm earning 5.5% on that premium. Number seven, I can take cash out of the paid-up additions. If I need money for something important, I can cash out all of the paid-up additions and not hurt the base policy. So do you remember the first when we had three buckets? I have three buckets of money. I got the base policy, can't take money out of that, or I lose the death benefit. But the paid-up additions bucket, which, remember, grew to $6 million at age 100, or $5 million, I can take 100% of the money out of that second bucket and not harm the first one. When you take money out of a UL policy, and I like index UL policies when they're funded at non-MEC, but do you run the risk that if you pull too much out, the policy may fail? And do you ever know exactly how much you can take out before you've put it at risk? I don't think you do. But with a whole life, do you know how much you can take out? Absolutely, 100% of the paid-up additions. Let's take a look at that. So I pay into this policy, I pay $500,000 in. The paid-up additions at that point are worth $488,000. Remarkably, it's worth exactly almost what I paid for it. I could cash out all the paid-up additions and still have a $1 million policy that would be enforced for the rest of my life. Is that a bad deal? So have you ever heard of refund term? You know, you got a 30-year refund term. What about refund whole life? Put your money in, take all your money out, and everything that's left goes to your family tax-free. The paid-up additions rider. I can put additional money into the policy by purchasing paid-up additions directly. Now, this didn't exist when I came in the business in 1978. Frankly, the creativity that went into universal life prompted home offices to design much better whole life policies. So UL was good for the industry in that sense. But all I have to do if I want to put an extra $10,000 in a policy or whatever the limit is, I pay a one-time expense charge of 7.5%, but the internal rate of return on these paid-up additions is approximately 5% if left in the rider for more than 5 years. In other words, I overcome the 7.5% load, and if I cashed out 5 years later, it would be the same as having earned 5% per year on that money. That's a fantastic place to park extra money today, because I don't know any place in the bank where I can do that. If you pulled out basis, it'd come out tax-free. Sure. My wife has some money. She has it in CDs. Everywhere I go, people say, "Oh, your husband talks about you," and she's like, I know what day of the month it is because I come home and Marcella says, "You're not going to believe it." Oh, she got her bank statement. She has one account, has $170,000 in it, and it's paying 70 basis points. That's 0.7%. That's the good account. Some of the others are getting 30 basis points. She says, "This is terrible. This is like criminal that a bank can only pay you that much money." I said, "Honey, it's much worse than that, because it's going to land on top of my earned income. It's going to land on top of all the other income that we've got, and it's going to be taxed, in our case, at a combined 40% tax rate. You're really earning, honey, less than 40 basis points. And by the way, what's inflation? 280 basis points. So if you're earning 40 and inflation is costing you 280, do you see that the money in the bank is losing steam? Well, it's not losing steam if we buy paid-up additions. We're ahead of it. Number nine. I can take tax-free policy loans. Now, the math is that if I want to take money out and leave it out, you've got to be careful. I like a policy that has what's called an overloan protection benefit rider, so I can take the money out, and if by chance I take more than the policy will sustain in the long run, the policy is made reduced paid up. But let me just show you some math here that's kind of nice. I pay my $500,000 into this whole life policy, and then I start taking money from the policy. And you'll see that here on the next page. Starting at age 75, I've spent other assets, you know, inefficient assets like my IRA. I take out $200,000 a year tax-free for 10 years. I took $2 million out. So I put in $500,000 after tax. I let it accumulate. I take $2 million tax-free from the policy, and my family still gets $767,000. That's the equivalent of $300,000 or $400,000 a year from my IRA. Well, I think that's very helpful. Finally, number 10, and I'm down to my three-minute warning. I love this stuff. Finally, number 10. Whole life makes up about 10 to 15% of our portfolio. I mean, I believe in 401ks. I've saved money in it. I have alternate investments, real estate investment trusts. I have some private investments. I've got my 401ks invested aggressively. Because I had a foundation of whole life, the stable asset in my portfolio, I felt much more at ease going aggressive in my 401k, because I knew that if the market went down, we were going to be fine. We had money that we could get to just like that if we need to. Bruce Bowen has a great story to talk about a business that did that. I think that whole life becomes the core asset in a portfolio that allows you to invest the rest of it more efficiently and more effectively. In the absence of permanent life insurance, you've got to hold reserves, safe reserves, to take care of your wife if you die early or if you die before her. You have to hedge your bets, because if the market goes down, you've got to wonder what's going to happen. But if you've got a good solid core of whole life, you have time and money to weather whatever financial storm comes, because they always come and they always end up leaving. And if you haven't had to take money out of the market because you had a good solid portfolio or fixed investment, you get the rebound on all the money that was allowed to stay in those other accounts. So what I'm saying is, an example, if I hit a point where I was relying on income and the market dropped, I would not take money from my 401k that year or my IRA. I would take a tax-free loan from my life policy, make it through that year so that when the market rebounded, I own all the shares that I owned before the market dropped, and I would get the appreciation on that. Well, so if you take all 10 of these together, I think that whole life is a remarkable asset. I think it's an indispensable asset. I don't think it's the only asset. I think there's a lot of great ways to make money, but if you have whole life, you can explore all of them. For those of you who know the LEAP model, I passed a milestone this year. I bought my 27th drawer. So LEAP says there's 27 places to put money. We've been able to get all of them. But in large part, it's because 40 years ago, a friend of mine called me and got me started with whole life. I hope this is helpful. Glad to be with you.